Our passage this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 through chapter 9, verse 1. And hear the word of the Lord. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for this moment, and we ask, O God, that you remove anything that can hinder us from hearing from you. Hide me behind the cross. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be out of love for you, and may in this moment we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Can we try that again? And all of God's children said, amen. That means you agree. Amen. I once read a story about a little girl and her best friend, Karen. During one of their play dates, her friend was heartbroken because she had lost her favorite toy. And as she sat on the steps and began to cry, when the little girl's mother came outside, she was checking on the girls, and she found them both sitting on these stairs. They were sobbing uncontrollably. When the mother asked what was wrong, she was told through her daughter's tears that Karen had lost her favorite toy. The mother looked really puzzled. Then she asked her daughter, did you lose your favorite toy too? No, her daughter cried. And her mother responds, then what's wrong with you? She paused and replied in between sobs. The daughter said, nothing. I'm just helping Karen to cry. What a statement to make. I'm just helping Karen to cry. Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation, tearing up or with a lump in your throat out of grief for another? Where sometimes it is more tempting when you see pain and suffering, brokenness and consequences of sin to pass by on the other side, look or walk away, or perhaps not even bother to get involved. Sometimes it's easier to have sympathy, feeling really sorry for someone, rather than empathy when your heart truly breaks for another. Our text this morning takes us back to Jeremiah, who is widely known as the weeping prophet. It is believed by some commentators this passage is most likely what earned Jeremiah this title. I don't know if you realize this, but tomorrow is the last day of summer. And from what I'm witnessing, not necessarily the weather, even though the mornings have been a bit cooler. See, summer is where we long for those extra long days, the freedom to rest, vacation time, the break from school, and even if you're still in the workplace, a more relaxed environment. Summer provides more time with the grands, great grands, and for some of you, great great grands. The lectionary, this 3-year cycle takes us on a journey where verse 20 tells us the harvest has passed and the summer has ended. We are unwillingly placed in a space to witness the wailings of Jeremiah within our text. We are being invited into one of the purest forms of faith, to love God, love people. Our setting parachute drops us into a lament where out loud Jeremiah is expressing sorrow and mourning for society living under great pressure and afflicted with problems in the midst of transition. As a reminder, the Lord has called Jeremiah as a young boy to preach repentance, leading them towards their eventual destruction. See, the nation of Judah was undergoing a period of political and social decline. Their leaders were weak and ineffective. And all around him, this weeping prophet witnessed people who were not living up to their covenant with God. To be honest, this passage for many of us, including myself, may be a bit hard to swallow. See, we as hearers live in a society that desires a happy ending where everyone receives a trophy because everyone is a winner. Where we as hearers desire that our Netflix binge wraps up in a nice, neat package where the bad people get what's coming and the rest of the characters live happily ever after. But today, we as hearers are being asked to sit with Jeremiah in this space, bearing burden, pain, and sorrow. During this season of creation, we're being challenged to sit and kind of wiggle in our seats in an uncomfortable space in the midst of divine angst and divine distress. Traditionally, this text focuses on a metaphor the people would have understood. It is uttered by Jeremiah in verse 22, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" See, Gilead was this mountainous region famous for healing ointment. It was made from a resin of a tree and was a remedy for wounds. The people in the midst of this pain and anguish were looking for a solution. See, the law was on the stone tablets, but had not been written on their hearts. The only remedy available to them was repentance, but they had not applied it. So we sit with them in this season, as God is calling us to sit with one another and with others who may not look like us. There are many outside and inside of these walls who desire a physician who can heal their spiritual sickness, where prayer may be non-existent, where what once worked to bring you closer to God no longer has the same effect, where spiritual disciplines of fasting and rest and study are absent, where the plight of the impoverished, the hungry, the needy, the anxious, the wounded, the grieving, the angry seem overwhelming and impossible. But in this moment, it is not about us as individuals, but the anguish and heart of God toward humanity. See, God, through this prophet Jeremiah, proclaims in this passage, within four separate sections, a term of endearment. God is helping us to acknowledge that God is a God of this season, that we serve a God of creation, a God who seems far away, the God who shapes and molds us as the potter and we as the clay, the God who creates in us a clean heart and a right spirit weeps for us. Like Jeremiah weeps for his people. And Christ wept for Jerusalem, the God who claims four times within this passage, my poor people. A term of endearment, my poor people. In verse 19, we hear, hark the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. In verse 21, we hear, for the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt, I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. In verse 22, we hear, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? And finally, in chapter 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. Jeremiah has clearly entered into a term of endearment from God to God's people and from God to us. We as hearers are to live into this space where we too are God's poor people out of love and endearment. The way God loves us through a heartfelt lament and empathy, we are being called to love others the same way. Love God, love people. On Friday night, I traveled through Perdido to Gulf Shores for a football game. It was for my daughter. It was my first time on this particular route, so I soaked up as much as I could while keeping my eyes on the road ahead. I passed a church marquee that instantly reminded me of this passage where we are experiencing this unusual display of emotion from God. Do you want to know what it said? Are you sure? It said, God is madly in love with you. God is madly in love with you. See, when a little girl tells her mother, I'm just helping Karen cry. When God sits and proclaims, my poor people. When Jeremiah proclaims there are not enough tears to convey sorrow, when we are given a picture of a listening God, of the ears of God attuned to hear humanity and receive divine attention, we are being invited to pause long enough and evaluate our own attitude towards judgment and the sin of others. Love God, love people. In this season of creation, we are to create a space in our daily lives, in our homes, within our church, to love God and love people. The more we know God, the more we lament and weep for the spiritual well-being of others. See, no matter how dire the situation, no matter how difficult the task, no matter how our Lord seems to be far away, God is able to bind up wounds, comfort the brokenhearted, and it's never too late for God to bring about healing. Love God. Love people. It is never too late for God to offer new life. There is power and truth in empathy. God, through Jeremiah, weeps for God's people and is in pain for those whom God loves. This passage stirs up more questions than answers. And it's leading me to invite you to ponder these risk-taking queries. What does it mean for our church to love God, love people? What makes the church meaningful today? How do we as a church elevate the sacred to all the people whom we serve? And what does true empathy look like inside and outside of these walls? How often do we find ourselves mourning instead of judging the brokenness of our world? My poor people. My poor people, we are to love God and we are to love others. We're being called in these moments to ache over those who are struggling, for those who are lonely, lost, afraid, suffering, in need of grace, comfort, strength, and hope. Yes, my poor people, there is a balm in Gilead, and it is the hope of Jesus Christ through all of us. We're being called with outstretched arms, offering grace and love and mercy with our hearts broken like Jeremiah's. And broken for the things that break God's heart. We have ministries of hope right within our midst. The hope that bags of grace brings to those who are impoverished and homeless. The hope Shield of Faith brings to veterans and first responders. The hope of Christ for youth and children, the hope of a community who is entrusting us through the Child Care Center to care for their most precious ones, the hope in our faith growing through small groups and Sunday school classes, the hope of opening our doors to the stranger in need. God is saying, my poor people, I love you so, and I'm sitting with you. I promise I will never leave you nor forsake you, and my heart breaks for you. We're called to sit in the space knowing that God sits with us. My poor people, my poor people, my poor people, my poor people. In this season of creation, we're being challenged to strive with all of our being to love God and to love people, to sit without judgment with the brokenhearted, allowing our hearts to hurt right alongside the heart of God. My poor people, I am with you no matter what. So love God. Love people in all that we do. My poor people, my poor people, my poor people. God loves you. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for a reminder that you sit with us and that you wrap your arms around us and that you love us and that we are precious to you. And your arms are always outstretched to receive us no matter what is going on in our lives, whether we're full of joy or angst, you were there, paying divine attention to us in the midst of stress, surrounding us with your divine love. May we be the hope, not only for ourselves, but for one another, and the hope for the world. Is there a balm in Gilead? Yes, oh God. And it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, who moves and guides and lives through us. We are grateful, and as we continue to worship you in all that we do, let us always remember, just continue to remind us, Lord, that you are with us. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. 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 Is there a balm in Gilead? Yes. And God is calling us to respond in prayer that, yes, Lord, there is a balm in Gilead. Physician, heal thy soul. So in this time, take a moment and sit and know that God is with you no matter what. And when you are ready, come to the altar and pray for someone that you know, that they see that God is with them. There is a balm in Gilead. So come, and through prayer, love God and love people.